You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we're off and running here. Glad you're with us. Middle of the week, middle of week one. Great to have you with us. We have the Auburn head coach on a little bit later on. We'll talk to some other very special guests. A lot happening, though, since we saw you last night. Let's get to some headlines. And what is going on here? The Gators, Anthony Richardson. He has really been one of the talks of the offseason. I just saw some mock drafts. He's all over that, one of the top-rated quarterbacks. And he has a huge game Saturday night against Utah. Georgia on your mind? Well, a lot of talk since we saw Georgia last in Indianapolis, and that talk will continue. We'll talk a little bit about the Dogs with the former Georgia coach Jim Donnan later on. South Carolina and some NIL partners with a new, not a new, but a sports marketing firm to help some of their top players. Deion Sanders trying to help where only somebody of his well-known stature can do. There is a real crisis going on. I can't imagine you have not heard the story of what's happening in Jackson, Mississippi. It is absolutely dreadful, quite frankly, shameful that a city like that big could be in this shape. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on as well. Big 12 is all over the news today. They are going to explore media rights. Now, this is a convoluted story, and one thing we hate on this show is convoluted stories. But the fact they're opening the window to this could mean something very important to watchers and listeners of this show. I know I'm jumping about eight steps ahead, but keep your eye on Texas and Oklahoma. They're not supposed to be in the SEC until 2025. Not supposed to be is the operative word there. But all this movement, if the Big 12 makes a deal for 24, will that help expedite Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC a year earlier? That would be the betting line right now. So we'll talk to L. Duncan, the most famous Georgia alum in the world. Well, that's an exaggeration, but why not? Brian Harsin will join us top of the next hour. Jim Donnan. And guess who's back out of pocket? Drea and Alyssa will join us later on as well. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And speaking of dogs, bark, bark. Daryl is next.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof, Paul. To you.
Okay, so what's going to happen, Paul? What's going to happen Saturday or Sunday or whatever day it is when we play Oregon? You tell me what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know the final score, but I do know who's going to win. That would be the Georgia Bulldogs.
I think our offense is going to be more explosive, Paul. I don't know on the offense side of the ball. We've got too many players coming back from last year. Here's the key, okay? It ain't nothing changed. Nothing changed from what the goal was last year. You got to win the line. You got to win the battles on the offensive line. You got to win your battles on the defensive line. You do that, you're going to find success. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you got to do. But I think our defense is going to be much, probably better than a lot of people think, Paul. I mean, a lot of these guys are just, you haven't heard their name yet, but they got a lot of talent. Hey, I need to ask you something. It's regarding Nick Saban, if that surprises you. But with Saban finally decides to shut it down, okay, do you foresee him having like maybe a farewell season, or just going to be out of the blue, boom, Nick Saban's resigned, that's it?
Yeah, I cannot imagine, unless there is a clear succession, that he would go through a farewell tour, because when you do something like that, it affects recruiting, and I don't think that's anything Nick Saban would ever want to do. So The only way that would happen is if it becomes obvious that this person is going to replace him, and then like what Coach K did in his final year. But I would bet against it. I have rarely, if ever, seen a coach in a lame duck year go out well. Usually the announcement comes either very late or after the season's over.
I think one average season, he's going to shut it down. I don't think he would tolerate it. I mean, do you agree with that?
I think the one thing that he would despise more than anything is losing his grip on that program. And, you know, he might want – I don't know. You know, it's easy to say it will never happen. It's impossible to say that, though, with a straight face. Nobody really knows. It can change pretty quickly. And I just think he'll coach into his final season at some point that year, make up his mind, whenever that is.
Well, he's not going – if they ever, ever see it, he's not going to tolerate no complaining, not Nick Saban. I think he'll shut it down quick. Hey, real quick, how's the book coming along?
In the early development. How about that?
Are you on the chapter for Jim from Tuscaloosa yet?
I wrote that yesterday. It was a short chapter.
Short chapter, right. All right, Paul, hey. All right, go to old. See ya.
Yeah, so far, page 54 has not made it into the new book yet, but still got a few more months to go. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
If only I had Daryl's passion, right?
Wouldn't that be nice?
And by the way, you're not in the middle of the week. You're doing 6 days. You got to strap on the Hokas this Saturday. Remember that.
Yeah, I'm trying them out today. I shouldn't say this too. I don't want Hoka to get upset, but I've gotten away from Hokas. But, you know, when you said that the other day, I dug into my closet and found an old pair.
Yeah. Hey, I've got one quick question, one quick request. But first of all, my thoughts on Kurt Herbstreit. I thought that was a great interview. He did sound a little weak still, but and I realize that our caller from Columbus has kind of a man crush on him and Tim Brando. But I'm old enough to remember last Saturday morning when Kirk picked Nebraska to win the Big Ten West, and that famous conversation with Tim Brando that he said Scott Frost was the next generation Nick Saban would win multiple national championships.
I think he only said three.
Okay, corrected. And by the way, on the Ohio State, it's not about their defensive strategy or alignment. Michigan and Oregon just ran over them and controlled the game. And Michigan had like 300 yards to Ohio State's 65 and had two penalties to Ohio State's 10. Oregon had like 270 yards to 130 for Ohio State, and I think it was 4-8 to penalties. But simply put, the strategy is that you make Ohio State march down the field, not quick strikes. You don't get the penalties, and you rush them. So here's my request, and here's my question.
Okay,
the
John.
Request is you're not there.
No, I'm John. I was just saying, go ahead. Sure.
Yeah. The request is when you put up the marquee of a guest in the first, second, third, fourth hour, could you put legend up there so we know what hour to tune?
You know, is it my imagination or has legend just taken the show over recently?
Yeah, you co-star with him now.
Okay.
And, I mean, you could put other characters up there like Joe, or you could put Jim on the first, second, third, and fourth hour. I don't know. But I'm kidding, Jim. I like Jim.
No.
But it would be helpful. And then here's the question, Paul. Do you agree or disagree with South Carolina's new name for its mascot? Do you think it should have been the fans' choice? And you know what
yes,
it was, I'm
I
sure.
I think it should
for the athletic department.
I think the new name is pretty lame. I don't even know. I cannot remember what it is from yesterday when it was announced here.
It's general, and the fans' selection. Well, tell Randy not to crow in the background, but it was Cock Commander.
To me, that is very memorable.
No doubt.
It should be fun. I mean, when your nickname is Gamecocks, you are going to have derivatives of that name uttered by people. Don't run away from it. Otherwise, change the nickname.
Embrace it, in other words. Call yourself
the gamers if you don't want to put the word, never mind.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing you out on the campus this Friday.
Thank you. Let's check in with Dave, who is in Austin. Hello, Dave.
What's going on, Pop?
Hey there.
Hey, I want to clear up a couple of things from yesterday. Now, I still believe it's going to be A&M's daddy. I didn't say it was going to be the SEC's daddy. I think people got that misunderstood, but I was talking to my coworker, Dole, and we got to talking about it. And why would Saban lie?
What did he lie about?
That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, okay.
If A&M didn't pay them players and
well,
was cheating.
Well, hold on. I mean, Dave, what Saban said was Texas A&M bought their entire class.
Well, then that's what I'm getting at.
Well,
He's got no reason to lie. Why would the greatest coach in history... Why would he lie about it? Why would he make it up?
Well,
He's got to have proof.
I don't have any doubt. First of all, he said what he believed, and you know, then he tried to act like he didn't say it. But he said it.
But who do you trust more? You trust Saban or Jimbo? Because I don't trust Jimbo for nothing.
Well, what are we talking about? I mean, I think they're both fine, upstanding people.
Well, I'll trust the greatest coach in history over Jimbo.
Well, what did Jimbo say? What did Jimbo say that you don't trust?
That he didn't pay for. Nobody would want to go to that school.
I think Jimbo was telling the truth when he said he didn't pay for them.
Oh, you're talking about the technicalities.
Well, that's what all great lawyers do. They split hairs.
Yeah. Well. All right, Paul. This is Dave. I'm out. Oh!
Okay, I think we've had enough. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for we'll had enough for this segment. Excuse me, I was rushing the gun a little bit there. We are coming back. More of your phone calls. L. Duncan joining us in a few minutes. Jim Donnan later on. Brian Harsin. We are coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's good to have you with us. Let's continue, and Charlie is up next. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing good. I don't know if you remember me or not, but I used to be Charlie from Memphis, but I'm going to go with my hometown, Wicksburg.
Yeah, I remember anyone who calls in from Memphis.
Yeah, well, you know, I used to party all the time, and, you know, I'm an Alabama fan.
What happened to your partying days?
Old school. Well, you know, I had to go to the therapist, and they told me to quit drinking and quit calling you because I had to party every time I called you. So, you know, you got a sober Charlie today.
Yeah, by the way, I checked with Blue Cross. I think they now cover therapy based on the Feinbaum Show calling in. So give that a whirl again. You may be able to get it get insurance to pick up the tab.
I never quit your show. I quit calling, but
okay.
You know, I always call in with these theme songs, like you can't always get what you want.
Yeah,
but you can make the show better.
Right.
And you know how you make the show better?
Tell us.
Don't give in to these callers. You kiss up to some of them, like Jim and Jeff. You know, when they start giving you fluff, when you don't take the fluff. Your show is on fire.
So you're saying don't be nice to these guys, right?
I am saying that.
Treat them, like cockroaches.
Exactly. You know,
I
remember
when you see a cockroach,
Charles,
you don't like start sweet talking it like you would a puppy. You get your steel boots and you crush them to death, right?
Right, and when you do that, the show is fantastic, and
okay.
I guarantee you, you know, nobody's going to
okay, so
hang
let
up
me ask
on
you this
your
question,
change.
Charlie. What should I do to callers who call in trying to tell us how to run the show?
Well, I tell them you're the boss,
right.
Other than, you know, you got your boss at the ESPN, but this is the Paul Feinbaum show, not the Jim from Tuscaloosa show or the Jeff from wherever, Ohio, but, you know. Back when you had Tammy and Charles from Real Town, what happened to Millie that had the crush on Joe Namath? Whatever. And Ed from Connecticut, you know?
Well, Ed died. Millie, I think, got sick. So, I mean, if you had to tell us right now who is worth listening to as a caller, where would you start?
Well, I like Legend. I like Squirrel.
Okay.
The haters that call in, all they do is hate, you know, this, hate that. And it's the callers that love their teams. Larry from Shelby, you know. I feel sorry for Larry. I used to try to outdrink Larry while I was on the show, but I just couldn't do it, you know. I had to quit.
At your peak, what did you drink and how much did you drink every day?
Paul, I used to be in championship beer drinking teams. I won a beer drinking contest in college.
Hold on a second. Have you ever heard of that? You competed in the championship beer drinking league?
Yes. We had, you know, I drank 24 Miller Lights an hour before Paul and couldn't walk. I could talk, but I couldn't walk.
You eat what, 24? Now, we're talking 12, 16? How many ounces?
12 ounces, 24, 12 ounces in
okay,
an
so
hour.
Okay, so
24,
12-ounce Miller Lights in an hour. Can somebody do the math on that?
It's a lot of beer.
A lot of beer.
And back in the college day, I could drink a fifth of bourbon or something and chase it with a 12-ounce. Yeah, and chase it with a 12-ounce beer of anybody's choice and win $200 or $300, you know. I can't do it no more, Paul. I had to quit.
24 12-ounce Miller Lights in an hour.
Yes, sir. True story. And when we had a championship beer drinking team down in Nacogdoches, Louisiana, from Troy, Alabama, who plays
there.
Ole Miss this week.
That's where Northwestern State University is.
Yeah, we were in a softball tournament, and we got there.
Pretty
with
city,
10
by
players
the way.
From
I've been
Troy.
There.
Yeah, it was a great. We were there for a softball tournament, and we were supposed to win the tournament. And we got there. They started pulling. We promised each other we were going to play and do our best. Well, they pulled up these big cooler trucks that had taps on the side of them. And we promised each other we weren't going to drink, but we wound up winning the beer drinking contest there, and we couldn't drive home to Troy. We had to spend the night.
By the way, we figured out that's 288 ounces of beer in an hour.
Yes, sir.
288 ounces of beer going into your system.
I won the contest.
How and could you stay awake after that, or could you?
I could talk, but I couldn't walk.
Okay. So
my best friends had to pull. I got thrown into a trash can.
I'm just interested in this. With 288 ounces of fluid in your system, I think you know where I'm going here. How long could you withstand not relieving yourself of some of that beer?
Well, I had a three-day hangover. All I can tell you, you know, back in the younger days when you had to go, you just went.
Yeah, but, I mean, 288 ounces of beer would take a while to go, wouldn't it?
No, not really.
Okay. I mean, I've seen horses. I've seen horses relieve themselves of less than that.
Man, you know, if you drink two beers now, at my age, you're automatically going.
Let me ask Larry, are you listening to this story here?
Yeah, man, he's something. He's a king. I tell you, he's a king, brother. I couldn't ever drink that in an hour now. I did a football game. I'll get you that. Right now, I got, you know, I'm 74, and I got bad heart, man, heart surgery. I might drink five or seven a day. You know, that's all
but,
I can
But
handle.
in your prime, which I can't imagine you ever having a prime, but in your prime, Larry.
In my prime, I told you, man, football season, Paul, I could knock out 30 freaking beers, man.
Be careful.
In a football game. Jesus. I mean, you're talking about starting an hour before football hour and a half. You got people around you. You're knocking them down, Jack. I don't care. People around me just would fall over. You know, they would just get so drunk. I didn't get drunk. I got happy, brother.
Were you still married at this time?
Yeah, well, when I drank beer, yeah, I was married, man. My ex-wife, she understood Saturdays was my day. I didn't do it like everything night. I did it on football. I told you that, man. I didn't just sit around. I was a policeman, man. I had to go to work. I worked two jobs. I was a policeman and got off at 7 in the morning. She rocked all day. How am I going to drink all that beer?
How long, Jack? What was your shift on the sheetrocking crew?
7 till we got through with the job, brother. It might be 5 o'clock.
And then when did you go back to work as a policeman?
11 at night till 7 in the morning.
So when did you sleep?
Yep. On duty.
That was you. I used to drive past in Shelby County, huh?
Yeah, I didn't work Shelby. I did work three counties, St. Clair, Shelby, and Jefferson, but I'd find me a little spot and get me about 30 minutes.
Okay.
But I busted ass. But I took care of my family. I paid for a house. I had my kids in school. I did my job, man. I worked my ass off. But I love
I never
football.
Knew that about you, that you were a sheetrocker. That's hard
you
work.
Yeah, man. People know what it is. If they know sheetrock, they know that you bust ass when you sheetrock. Ain't no play.
No, that's pretty amazing. Hey, Larry, we have to go. We have a guest waiting. We're coming right back. More drinking times as we get ready for the college football season right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. I don't know what we were just listening to, but it doesn't matter because it's over. And we are on to a new segment, and L. Duncan has returned. Remember last January, she silenced the lambs after Georgia won. L, it's so – oh, you got the Georgia thing going for you. Good afternoon.
It's weird. It's as if I knew I was going to be on the Paul Feinbaum show. I, too, was very confused as to what I just listened to. I listened to Mad Dog not answer the question for about 90 seconds, and then Stephen A. confused melodrama with rivalry just because Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban don't like each other based on comments this year and because Jimbo beat him one time. That doesn't make a rivalry.
No.
Y'all stop. It's clearly Alabama-Georgia. Sit down. Hi, Paul.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. Tell Mad Dog whenever he returns to Earth that Cam Newton led Alabama to a big win in Bryant-Denny Stadium in 2010, but who's counting, okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
It
NBD.
Happens. So, we see you every night on TV, but obviously you have not forgotten what happened in January when the Dogs, I mean, in spite of Alabama, you know, spotting them a win because their two best players didn't play. We've heard that from Nick Saban, and it was a rebuilding year after all. How's all this going down with you, Al?
Yeah, I love that. After the fact, revisionist history. Shut up. I got to be honest, Paul. Like, I know the adage is that it's great to be a Georgia Bulldog, but right now, it's kind of complicated. Like, this is the first time I've ever embarked on a new season as a champion. And I don't know how to feel, you know? I feel like for so long, we've talked about this, we were long-suffering, we were sort of, you know, the home of Loserville, everything was really sad and horrible, and it was a lot of woe is me. Now, not only are we champions, we're super champions, if of course you count the Braves, and of course you would, even though they're not college football related at all. So I feel confident, but also incredibly nervous, and I think that you know why I feel nervous. I feel nervous because of what we're going to trot back out under center again, Paul.
So I wanted to ask you because your people, the Georgia Bulldog fans, feel disrespected. They're number three in the country. Nobody's really thinking they're going to win it again. They don't understand why. They have whatever they have over there. Do you think that just comes with being a dog?
No, okay. It's like, I love my people, but, like, we need to stop. You don't make history for having the most draft picks ever and not think there's going to be some attrition. You lost 15 players. You are returning only 18% of the production on your historic defense. You're talking about a defense that only allowed 10 points a game last year, which was an incredible amount of deodorant for, at times, which was a funky offense. And so that is concerning to me. Like, Ohio State and Alabama are returning more people. That's just the simple fact of it. I'm concerned because of Stetson Bennett, and I feel torn about it. Like, I sat on this very show, Paul, a year ago. You remember this. Lamenting. Here we go. Stetson Bennett. Oh, my God. What are we doing? This is going to be a nightmare. And did he come through-ish? Yes, he did. We won a national championship, but this is the best way I can describe it. People that don't think I'm being fair to Stetson Bennett, okay? People who say, like, what else do you want from this kid? Like, you guys want a natty, give him a break. He's disrespected. I have a 4-year-old daughter, okay? I know that she cannot spell, but a few weeks ago, I just randomly pointed out a word, and she spelled. She spelled mom. She said it correctly. Now, here's the thing. I knew to just count my losses and walk away, because in my mind, she don't know how to read. She just got incredibly lucky. So because she could do that one particular day, I wouldn't exactly put her in the script spelling bee. You feel me? And I feel like that's where we are with Stetson. Every dog has its day. Quite literally, that dog had his day back in January, but I don't really want to tempt fate by seeing if he can do it again.
I would never, I might put words in somebody else's mouth, but I would never do that to you. But it seems like you're saying out loud, you know, what a lot of people whisper. It's like, you know, what you hear in church and out of church. I know that's not a good comparison, but we all love Stetson Bennett, but I still haven't figured out why he came back. Have you?
I don't understand. Listen, either he is a sadist, right, and he just lives for pain, or he knows something that we don't know, which is that a confident Stetson Bennett, a national championship winning Stetson Bennett is a different Stetson Bennett. It just feels like you had it. You had your moment in the sun, Stetson. You could have walked away. You could have bought car dealerships in Atlanta for the rest of your life. You could have sold frozen entrees at a Publix for the rest of your life. Georgia loves you forever. You'll always be their guy. But, like, why come back for more? It's not in an attempt to make some surge to the pros, right? We don't believe he's, like, going to be a top draft pick in the NFL. I don't think anybody believes he would start on an NFL team. So I don't understand what else is left for you there, Stetson. Like I said, maybe he just knows something that we don't know. But I've got real concerns there.
Yeah, and some have tried to say, well, Tom Brady didn't come back. Tom Brady did come back after winning a Super Bowl, but Tom Brady had like 100 Super Bowl champions, didn't he? It didn't really matter. His career's already been cemented. It seems to me that short of doing this again, the Disney movie gets shattered, doesn't it? I mean, you don't have a Disney movie, do you? You work for Disney.
Thank you. Exactly. Paul, could you imagine the follow-up to Rudy? It's like, no. You had, like, your one moment, Rudy. Like, Rudy counted his losses, and he went back to being the janitor, I think. I don't know, because there wasn't a sequel, Paul, because there didn't need to be.
And by the way, even if he does it again, it's still not going to be the same. I mean, you can't replicate.
Well, that's all. Okay, well, pump the brakes, Paul. 100. What are you serious? No. If he does it again, it would be one of the greatest stories of all time. And I will eat crow here on your show. I just don't see it. I'm also concerned because, like, week one, you know, of all the years to not get a Stanford week one, we get Oregon,
right.
You know, and Dan Lanning. And, like, that's super brutal. The only good thing about playing this weekend is that we are facing Bo Nix. And, you know, Bo knows that when you face the Bulldogs, you're going to get that ass whooped. So that's the only thing that's encouraging me is that, like, Bo Nix isn't probably any better out in Oregon. But that's it.
I don't even know how to respond to that, but I'm going to try. What's it been like, though? This is a weird question, but was it what you thought? I don't know if you ever thought it would happen, but it did happen. And what have these 8 months been like for you?
Well, I think the best way to describe that is to tell you what the last 8 months have been like for the people around me. And I can tell you that for everyone who last year started out on my side, hoping that finally this curse would be broken, praying for me to finally taste the glory land, they have now switched positions. They hate me. I've been insufferable. And now they are actively rooting for everything my team does to fail. So that should tell you plenty, Paul. I have been exactly what I said I would be, a graceless winner. I have no grace when I win. I don't understand why you would. I have just a few more months to talk my mess for the Bulldogs. I have even shorter to talk my mess for the Braves. And I've been doing all of that. I've been absolutely horrible the last 8 months to deal with. I've called myself a super champion, and I have referred to myself in a non-ironic way as we, when we won the national championship, really an obscene amount. So yeah, it's been great. It's everything that I thought it would be. It never gets old being a super champion. And now I see why Alabama fans are so horrible. I get it. I finally get it, Bama.
Hold on a second. Bama fans horrible? Come on, Al. What are you talking about?
Well, Paul, they're just like so – the arrogance with which they just always know they're going to be in the national championship. I think I told you the story last year. Literally, as the ticker tape is still falling at Lucas Oil Stadium, and I'm walking out and I'm just waiting for some Bama fan to say something so that I can, like, unload on them. I've had things in the barrel for a long time, obviously. And I just, like – hear these in a very nonchalant way, hear these two Alabama fans walk by, these two women, and one looks at the other and she goes, wait, where are we going to the national championship next year? And the other was like, I think it's in LA. And she was like, oh, I love LA. She's like, yeah, it'll be fun. But, like, I couldn't even be mad at her, Paul, because they just sort of know they're always going to be there. And I finally understand why they are horrible people, because it feels so good to win and to know that you've got that, you know, to know that you're better than everyone. It's a good feeling.
So finally, you talked about all these people that had to suffer around you. Who's on that list of the people? I mean, you know, you've got people at home, you got people at work.
Yeah.
Who has taken the brunt of Elle's barking, so to speak?
Yeah. you know, the usual suspects. Everyone on my show group. I'm married to a Vanderbilt Commodore, so that's been really fun.
I know that feeling.
Oh, that's been super fun. I mean, he just catches strays for literally no reason at all. I would just say anyone in general that mentions that they like sports, have a sports team, or any of thing of the such, I'm probably going to be pretty insufferable when I tell you how I'm a super champion. Because like I said, I'm more than just a champion. I'm a super champion. Two championships in 6 months, Paul. What else are you supposed to call that? I had to come up with my own name because that's how rare it is. A super champ. And shut up, Boston. I don't care that you guys always win. A super champ.
And finally, one thing about you, unlike a lot of fans, I mean, most fans just are blindly loyal to their program. Where will it go wrong for the Dogs this year? Where will the wheels finally come off?
I'm hoping not this Saturday, but I have concerns just because we don't have exactly the timing. God, it's as if you guys do this for a living. You look at the schedule, there's just not a whole lot there, right? Like, I know that the committee will forgive an early season miscue, but there's not a ton there. And Georgia is always really good at having one of those, oh my God, we just lost to South Carolina games. Like, in every year, except for last year, we have one of those. So I don't know. I have big concerns about Tennessee just because I have been particularly nasty to Tennessee fans and also Kentucky fans. I got an entire band together just to troll the Wildcats last year when we beat them. So I don't actually know where it's going to fall off.
Where would it hurt the most? Would it be Tennessee? Would it be Florida? Can you imagine losing to Florida?
I would say Florida would be really, really tough just because, you know, Florida is like a couple more losses away from being relegated, I hear, to another league. So I would say Florida would sting. Vanderbilt would honestly be the absolute worst, but there's no way that happens,
that's not
right?
Happening.
Like, that would be awful. So I'm going to go, Florida, I think, would probably sting the worst.
And if it came back, I mean, you know what's going to happen if Alabama plays Georgia in the SEC or national championship. I mean, that's not
do
worth.
I, Paul? Do I?
I think you do.
Do I know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me in like 6 weeks and I'll tell you whether I'm irrationally confident or if I'm spiraling. And then I'll set the table there.
By the way, we have to let you get back to work. This has been a treat. I know Bo Nix is your biggest fan now. And
Bo knows I love to see him coming because it means a big fat W.
L. Duncan, thank you so much. Great to see you.
Scott's still playing.
You can see L. later on SportsCenter, and we think we'll be back after this message.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Left here before the end of the hour, but time to hear JK next. Hello, JK.
Paul, what's happening, baby?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, man, let me respond to L. Duncan. We heard a little comedy, and the only thing that I agree with her on is the idiotic fans off of McFarland Boulevard, the obnoxious we're the best off season, but when we lose, we the excuse champions of America. But what I want to ask Miss L. Duncan is, if she is that much against Stetson Bennett, how does she feel about the other 41 quarterbacks that didn't get it done? How does she expect the young man to feel if He took them to a national championship and won. But she doesn't have any confidence in him.
Well, her point, though, was that he so exceeded expectations that it would have been smarter of him just to walk off.
Paul, they hadn't done anything since the lame duck candidate for Senate in 1980, Herschel Walker. So she should be happy that the guy did lead him to a championship. The other 41 quarterbacks didn't do a damn thing.
Well,
so I don't understand.
I think she is happy, but she's not the only one who – she just said it out loud. I mean, there are plenty of Georgia fans who say, oh, yeah, we love Stetson Bennett, but have no faith in him repeating.
Well, that's just like a disgruntled parent of a kid that plays community football. Yeah, the team is 10-0 and they're beating everybody, but you want somebody else to go in and play quarterback just because you think that kid is better. The team is winning. They won the championship. What could she be possibly mad about Stetson Bennett?
Well,
I don't get
something
it.
Something that you wouldn't be familiar with, J.K. I mean, she's an entertainer. She's trying to be funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, she kind of failed today. I give her a D-. But anyway, it's time for football, Paul. All this talking and preseason garbage and hype is over with. We're going to bump helmets this weekend. And I'm looking forward to the Cane season this year. You can doubt me all you want to, but I keep telling you, we'll be in the playoffs this year.
Sure.